Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I am your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, the man who calls it right down the middle, Dion Tyre Gordon. Enough of the bullshit. Let's get to work. Let's talk football. There's a lot to talk about, plenty to discuss. The NFL offseason, the NFL never really stops. It's 24-7, 365, 12 months out of the year, all day, every day, twice on Sunday. Even in March, the NFL is still the most compelling, interesting, and scintillating professional sports organization in North America. The NFL still matters more than every other sport. Even sports that are currently in season right now. The NFL, NCAA basketball, this is March Madness. And even amidst all the dipsy-doo dunkaroos and buzzer beaters and diaper dandies and upsets and 1 versus 16s and 8 versus 9s and 5 versus 12s and 4 versus 13s, even in the middle of March Madness and the NBA playoff push, and baseball has finally found a resolution. The lockout is over. They're going to play baseball this season. Even in the middle of all that, the most relevant sport in North America, and yes, America, America, is the correct pronunciation of it. I'm from Maryland, goddammit. That's the proper way you're supposed to speak. From Maryland and in America, the NFL reigns supreme. It's number one, numero uno, the head honcho, the HNIC of professional sports. The NFL kicks everyone's ass 10 times out of 10, all day, every day, twice on Sunday. Green Bay Packers quarterback, four-time NFL league MVP, immunized Aaron A-A-A-A-Ron, Aaron Rodgers, Throw Rogan, just re-upped with the Green Bay Packers, 4 years, $200 million. That's a lot of fucking cheese right there. 4 years, $200 million. All of that to go 13-3, get to the playoffs, have home field advantage in the playoffs, and get your shit pushed in, get your ass handed to you, get choke slammed through a table, get earth, wind, fire, and ice beaten out of you by some team from a warm weather climate. 4 years, $200 million to get your ass kicked by a block punt and Jimmy fucking Garoppolo. 4 years, $200 million to not win the Super Bowl. That's a lot of money. Hey, it's not coming out of my pocket. I don't care. The Green Bay Packers and their shareholders, all the cheeseheads, are going to be paying Aaron Rodgers a lot of money to have wonderful regular seasons and then abysmal, disappointing, soul-crushing, deflating, depressing postseasons. But fuck it. He's the greatest thrower of the football we've ever seen. And I guess that's all that matters. A pretty well-thrown spiral is more important than winning the Super Bowl. Congratulations, Packers fans. You signed up for 4 more years of diva behavior, weekly appearances on the Pat McAfee Show, getting your hopes built up in a regular season only to have them taken away in the postseason. But look on the bright side, Packers fans, all the cheeseheads out there listening right now, look on the bright side. At least you will continue to have ownership of the Bears, Lions, and Vikings. And that's really all that matters. You will control and dominate the NFC North. And that's why I felt like Rodgers would be a fool to leave the NFC North, to leave the Green Bay Packers in the first place. Why would you go play, I don't know, in Denver, where you got to deal with Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes, or the Chargers with Justin Herbert, or the Raiders with Derek Carr? You can stay in the NFC North and continue to reign supreme. You can have carte blanche and a free path to a 13-3 division title every year and home field advantage in the NFC playoffs, home games at Lambeau Field that you will no doubt lose, but you will at least have those home field playoff games playing in the NFC North. It's not a guarantee in the AFC West. They actually have good football teams in the AFC West. In the NFC North, I mean, what's your competition? What's your opposition in the NFC North? An absolute dumpster fire in Chicago with a still developing young quarterback coming off a rookie season where he was sacked 36 times. Of course, I'm talking about Justin Fields, 7 touchdown passes, 10 interceptions. Not entirely his fault, but still some areas of improvement that he needs to make. but the Bears are an absolute mess. Today, they traded Khalil Mack to the LA Chargers. The AFC West continues to get better. More on that later. More on that after I get done talking about Rodgers. But the AFC West continues to get better. The NFC North is still the drizzling shits. If you're Aaron Rodgers, why would you want to leave? Who's going to beat you in that division? The Detroit Lions? Get the fuck out of here, man. Come on. Simba and Mufasa have a better chance of winning the NFC North than the consistently, perennially pathetic Detroit Lions. Are we fucking serious right now? The Lions with Jared Goff, who knows if he will even be there next season. If he is, it doesn't even matter. The Lions are putrid. The Lions are abysmal. The Lions suck. The Vikings, I like Kirk Cousins. I'm in the minority. Me and Kyle Shanahan are the only two people in America who think and believe that Kirk Cousins is a good NFL quarterback. I mean that. I'm being sincere right now. I really believe that. I'm being true and authentic in saying this. I believe that Kirk Cousins is a good NFL quarterback. This guy went for 33-7 last year, 4,221 yards, a quarterback rating of 103.1. Now, Minnesota missed the playoffs last season, but I don't think that's Kirk Cousins' fault. The Washington Nation, the Domination, or the Generation X, or whatever the fuck they're calling that team this week, they were fools in getting rid of Kirk Cousins. Ever since they got rid of Kirk Cousins, they've had a myriad of underwhelming and underachieving quarterbacks. Alex Smith, we all know the situation with him with the broken leg and everything. You're talking about Dwayne Haskins, Taylor Heineke. They just made a trade yesterday to bring in Carson Wentz. More on that later as well. But Washington's quarterback situation has not been good ever since they opted to not pay Kirk Cousins. To me, that was a mistake. I've always liked Kirk Cousins. The only problem with Kirk Cousins is his career win-loss record is 59-59-2. So he's 500, basically. He's right where he's supposed to be. He's a 500 basic middling average quarterback by the win-loss record. But to me, I never felt like that was 100% Kirk Cousins' fault. I don't know. Like I said, me and Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of my beloved San Francisco 49ers, are the only two people in America who think that Kirk Cousins is a good, serviceable, not even serviceable, a good quarterback. I like Kirk Cousins. Even though the record is what it is that entirely his fault? But the record is that. The record shows he's 500, and last year Minnesota missed the playoffs, and Minnesota in all reality is no threat to beat the Green Bay Packers and take away that division from them. So bringing back to Aaron Rodgers, why would you ever want to leave the NFC North? It's a guaranteed trip to the playoffs. As long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy, as long as he can show up and physically play football, the Green Bay Packers are going to the NFC playoffs. The Packers have gone 13-3 in three consecutive seasons, 2019, 2020, 2021. 2019, they lost the NFC Championship game to my beloved 49ers when Raheem Mostert ran wild like Hulkamania, like a slave trying to escape to the north in that conference championship game. Jimmy Garoppolo, Lee Harvey Garoppolo, Jimmy Wilkes Booth only completed 8 passes in that game. And yet that was enough to not only beat the Green Bay Packers, but totally dismantle them 37-20. 2020, this time a home game at Lambeau Field, frozen tundra, frigid conditions. The visiting team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team from the state of Florida. It's never that cold in Florida. I've been to Florida before. In the winter, in January, if it's 40 degrees in Florida, people in Florida lose their fucking mind. They don't know how to handle it. That's off of 40 degrees. You haven't even entered freezing yet. It's only 40 degrees, and people in Florida lose their shit if it's 40 degrees. And yet this team of players from Florida, well, not all from Florida, but they play in Florida, they took a trip to Green Bay, Wisconsin. The starting quarterback was 43 years old in that game. He's also, like Aaron Rodgers, born and raised in the California Bay Area. They're not accustomed to playing in snow. But Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers stomped all over the Green Bay Packers and won that NFC Championship game in 2020 over the Green Bay Packers. who should have won that game. And then, as I said earlier, this most recent playoff failure, Jimmy Garoppolo was horrible in that game. A blocked punt and a recovery by Talanoa Hufanga was enough. 13 points was enough to beat the Green Bay Packers 13-10 in the NFC Divisional playoff game. But it doesn't matter, because as long as you got Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers are relevant. And that's all the Green Bay Packers need. That's what I take away from this. That's my biggest takeaway from this whole thing. They're paying Aaron Rodgers money to keep the Green Bay Packers relevant. Because without Rodgers, no one gives a shit, a rat's ass, a flying fuck about the Green Bay Packers, and no one's ever going to talk about them. They are paying Aaron Rodgers money to remain relevant. That was a business decision. It's a football playing decision. Yeah, he is a great quarterback. I talk shit about him, but he's an awesome NFL quarterback. You don't get to being a four-time NFL League MVP on accident. The reigning consensus NFL League MVP, and well-deserved. He's a phenomenal football player. I talk a lot of shit about him, but at the end of the day, this guy is a top three NFL quarterback in the NFL. Number one on a lot of people's list, he's as advertised. He's a brilliant NFL quarterback, except when the calendar turns to January. And then we see a drop-off. We don't see that brilliance at the quarterback position from Aaron Rodgers in January when it matters most. But for the Green Bay Packers, you're a team in Green Bay, Wisconsin, not even Milwaukee. You play in Green Bay, small market team. No one really cares about you. If you lose Aaron Rodgers and you got to go forward with Jordan Love, are people still going to talk about the Green Bay Packers? Probably not. So to me, that deal was done for football reasons, yes, because he does give you a better chance to win than Jordan Love. But to me, it was done for PR reasons, for publicity reasons, to keep the Green Bay Packers front page news, the lead block on SportsCenter, the lead block on NFL Network, Total Access, Good Morning Football, whatever, to keep the Green Bay Packers in the conversation. That's, to me, why they kept Aaron Rodgers and gave him 4 years, $200 million. Even with all the diva activity off the field and holding the organization hostage and showing his feet during press conferences or whatever the fuck that was, and the weekly interviews on Pat McAfee and being so just weird and obtuse about everything and this very eccentric and verbose way of speaking, this football-playing hippie, even with all the shit off the field, you can still point to the fact that the guy is an awesome NFL quarterback, extremely talented, and puts you in a position to be 13-3 and win the NFC North on a yearly basis and keep you relevant more than anything else and bring money to the organization and keep the Green Bay Packers in the conversation. So for those reasons, of course, if you're Green Bay, you give that guy 4 years, $200 million. What now becomes of Jordan Love? Honestly, who gives a fuck? Wherever he goes is wherever he goes. I feel bad for the kid. You were drafted, first-round draft pick by the Green Bay Packers with the thought that you were going to supplant Aaron Rodgers and take over as QB1 for that football team whenever Aaron Rodgers was able to go play somewhere else or the organization was going to get rid of him. That's not going to happen now, at least not for another 4 years. Jordan Love, I think, is going into year three. He's on a rookie contract. What does become of him? I don't know. Do they get rid of him? Do they keep him? Does he even want to be there anymore? Because clearly you're not going to take over as starting quarterback for at least another 4 years. So if you're Jordan Love, you've only had one NFL start. You had some mop-up duty in Week 18 versus Detroit. I would think if you're Jordan Love, you want to play football and you would want to go somewhere else, because it's clearly not going to happen anytime soon in Green Bay. On some levels, it's similar to what happened in New England with Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo, where the Patriots drafted Garoppolo thinking he was going to one day replace Tom Brady and be QB1 for the New England Patriots. The only problem was Tom Brady, much like Aaron Rodgers, kept being awesome. Tom Brady, unlike Aaron Rodgers, kept winning Super Bowls. So when you have a quarterback who's still awesome, still playing at a high level, still winning Super Bowls, can you really get rid of him? No, you can't. You know, Patriots wanted to move on from Brady around 2016, 2017, and then the Patriots made it to the Super Bowl in three consecutive years, 2016, 2017, 2018. Super Bowls 51, 52, and 53 all featured the New England Patriots with Tom Brady playing a quarterback. And then the Patriots found themselves in a dilemma. Well, we can't keep both of you. We can't pay both of you. One of you has to go. We wanted to get rid of the old guy, but the old guy is still fucking awesome. So we can't get rid of him. So the other guy now becomes expendable. So we need to find a trade partner. And that trade partner was out in Santa Clara, California, who were desperate for a quarterback, who were 1-10 at that point in the season in 2017 when a young, up-and-coming, hotshot coach who was looking to make a name for himself, the son of a legendary head coach. Of course, I'm talking about Kyle Shanahan. The Niners needed a quarterback, and they made a deal with the Patriots for Jimmy Garoppolo, a second-round pick, went to New England in exchange for Jimmy Garoppolo, and the rest is history. Will the same thing happen with the Green Bay Packers? Will someone look at Jordan Love and say, we've seen enough off that one start versus Kansas City and the mop-up duty in Week 18 versus Detroit, and we like his talent, we like his potential, we like his upside. We're going to give you such and such draft picks in exchange for Jordan Love. Does Jordan Love now become a hot commodity? The only difference between Garoppolo and Jordan Love is Garoppolo admittedly looked better in the one opportunity he got to start in place of Tom Brady when Brady was suspended for the first four games of 2016 for that bogus-ass Deflategate bullshit. Garoppolo played, in my estimation, one of the best games he's ever played. Week one, Sunday Night Football on the road versus Arizona. He was phenomenal. He was outstanding in that game. That was some of the best football Jimmy Garoppolo has ever played. And that got a lot of people talking. That boosted his profile. That raised his stock. Jordan Love, in his one opportunity on the road versus Kansas City, wasn't that impressive. I don't fault or blame him too much for that. That's a tough ask. A lot of people have killed Jordan Love for that one start on the road versus Kansas City. You're talking about being on the road in probably the toughest place to play at, Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri, against a team that has now gone to four consecutive conference championship games. And oh, by the way, this is your first start in the National Football League. And you got to figure out a way to beat that team or play at a high level. He kept Green Bay in that game. It wasn't a blowout. They lost the game. But still, I don't think Jordan Love played as bad as people say he played. First start on the road against a team that good. I thought he comported himself well enough. But Garoppolo looked better versus Arizona than Jordan Love looked against Kansas City. So I don't know if Jordan Love's profile is as high as Jimmy Garoppolo's was in New England in 2017. That remains to be seen. Moving on to Denver, Colorado. Tuesday, I'm at work, not in Denver, Colorado, in Fremont, California, but I'm at work and I'm bored out of my fucking mind. I'm miserable and completely apoplectic, totally despondent because I'm at work. Put it into context, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever the fuck it was, the job almost burned down. I work at a chemical production plant. The job almost burned down, and I sincerely did not give a fuck. I was actively rooting for that to happen. That's how lost I am at this current job. Fuck that place. But I'm at work, and I'm just sitting there looking at my phone, lost, looking at the computer, pretending to work. And then, at about 10:40 a.m. West Coast time, I receive a notification, breaking news, this just in, from ESPN, Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson has been traded to the Denver Broncos. Yes, 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 yes. Daniel Bryan voice with both arms and index finger extended to the sky repeatedly. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, as a 49er fan, this was beautiful. This was great news. Get the fuck out of the NFC West. Go away. Stop tormenting my favorite football team. As a football fan, I respect Russell Wilson. As a 49er fan, fuck him. I can't stand Russell Wilson. and the news that he's gone, he's no longer in the NFC West and can no longer ruin everything and kick my team's ass twice a year, made me ecstatic. It pulled me out of my doldrums. It pulled me out of my depressed state at work. This woke me up. I was like, oh shit, Russell Wilson's been dealt somewhere else. He's been traded. Yay. Yes. We no longer have to be oppressed by the tyranny of Russell Wilson destroying my beloved 49ers on a yearly basis. Since 2012, Russell Wilson has metaphorically had his knee on the back of the 49ers' neck on a yearly consistent basis. He has owned the 49ers since 2012, since his rookie season in the NFL. Even last season, the Seahawks were awful. The Seahawks were garbage. And they still figured out a way to beat the 49ers twice last year. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo had a lot to do with that because he was a complete embarrassment in both games versus Seattle, where he pretty much gave the game away in both of those games. That's customary for Jimmy Garoppolo to do, to give away football games and lose it for the 49ers. But even last season, as horrible as the Seahawks were last year, with Russell Wilson missing a bunch of games with a depleted roster, with the Seahawks not being that good overall on either side, on offense, defense, or special teams, they were pretty decent. But on offense and defense, just not being that good last year, they still figured out a way to beat the 49ers, who got to the NFC Championship game and had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter on the eventual Super Bowl champion. And the Seahawks beat the 49ers twice last season. Why? Well, two reasons. Jimmy Garoppolo sucks and Russell Wilson is fucking awesome. But no longer do the 49ers and their fans, people like me, have to deal with this bullshit anymore. Good riddance. Get the fuck out the NFC West. Go bother the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Raiders on a yearly basis. Congratulations to all the Denver Broncos fans out there. You finally have a quarterback. Ever since the great Peyton Manning retired, the Broncos have brought in 11 different quarterbacks. Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, Brandon Allen, Drew Locke, Jeff Driscoll. Jeff Driscoll sounds like an HVAC technician who does a little bit of drywall on the side. From the University of Florida, Jeff Driscoll. From Boise State, my man Brent Rippon, the son or the nephew of Mark Rippon, the MVP of Super Bowl 26 for the then-known Washington Redskins, and Teddy Bridgewater. 11 different quarterbacks. 11-1-1 since Peyton Manning hung up the cleats and said Omaha for the last time for the Denver Broncos. They've missed the playoffs in six consecutive seasons since that. They've had three coaching changes, five different offensive coordinators, and just hired a new offensive coordinator, Justin Outen, and a new head coach, Nathaniel Hackett, formerly an offensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers, a man who was closely affiliated to Aaron Rodgers. The Broncos, I've been saying this for years, they have almost everything you need to win a championship. Pretty good running game. Javonte Williams, young man out of North Carolina, very good running back. Wide receivers, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler. Pretty good, nice young receiving core, even though Jerry Jeudy caught zero touchdown passes last season. That will change this season. Catching passes from Russell Wilson. He will catch a lot more than zero touchdown passes this season. A pretty decent offensive line, pretty good offensive line, actually. And a pretty good defense. Last season, the Denver Broncos finished third in the NFL in points allowed in 322. They allowed 36 touchdowns. Only 31 were against the defense. The offense allowed three of those. Special teams allowed two. In terms of defensive points allowed, the Broncos defense was second only to New England. The Patriots allowed 303 points, and five of those touchdowns were not against the defense. Four on the offense, one on special teams. The Denver defense finished 8th in yards allowed at 5,544, 6th in passer rating allowed 85, 15th in average yards allowed per carry 4.29, and 3rd in red zone touchdown percentage allowed 48.8. The red zone defense is the critical thing. The 2021 Bronco defense had a fair amount of bend, but fairly little break. Now, they do have to get better in regards to rushing the quarterback. Statistically, the Broncos had the worst pass rush in the NFL. Surprising on some levels, considering you have Bradley Chubb, a former top 10 pick. Not surprising, considering that you traded Von Miller to the eventual Super Bowl champion LA Rams. So that's an area of concern, an area of need. Also, the defense might look a little different this season, considering that Vic Fangio, the former head coach of the Broncos, was fired in the offseason and replaced by Nathaniel Hackett. So there will be some work to be done on that Broncos defense, but with guys like Justin Simmons and Patrick Surtain and Bradley Chubb, we'll see what happens. Now, as far as the Wilson trade is concerned, what was given up, who's going where, who's getting what? The Denver Broncos agreed to trade quarterback Drew Lock, tight end Noah Fant, defensive lineman Shelby Harris, 2 first-round draft picks in 2022, number 9 overall and number 20 in 2023, 2 second-round draft picks in 2022, number 40, and for next season, 2023, and a 2022 fifth-round selection to the Seattle Seahawks for quarterback Russell Wilson and a 2022 fourth-round draft pick. That's a lot of capital and a lot of players being given up to acquire the services of one Russell Wilson, but it's worth it. If you're the Denver Broncos, like I said, you've had 11 different quarterbacks since Peyton Manning retired, and that was 2015, 2016 to be exact. It's only about 5.5 years, and you've had 11 different guys under center. You've gone the trade route for Teddy Bridgewater. You've gone the free agency route for Case Keenum and Joe Flacco. You tried to draft guys like Chad Kelly and Paxton Lynch and Drew Lock. Nothing you did worked out. All these guys sucked. All of those guys were about as effective as security at the U.S. Capitol on January the 6th, 2021. All those guys were fucking terrible. You got nothing out of those guys. Minimal results at best. So if you're the Denver Broncos, why not take a swing and take a shot in the dark and try to go after a proven first ballot NFL Hall of Fame quarterback in Russell Wilson? I see no reason not to. This guy's still in his prime, and to me, still a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, still playing at a high level, got hurt for the first time in his career last season. That was only a finger injury. You know, Russ has never really had a major debilitating injury other than that finger injury last season. That was the first time he really missed games a significant portion of the season last year. So durability to me is not really a concern. The ability, period, to play the position is still at a high level. If you're Denver, why not? Because as I said earlier, you have this plethora of weapons on the outside with Sutton and Judy and Patrick. Now, you gave up Noah Fant to get Russell Wilson, which is a little bit surprising, but I guess you had to throw something else into the deal to sweeten the pot to convince Seattle to give up on Russell Wilson. And as far as Seattle is concerned, I mean, the rumors were always there that Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson weren't seeing eye to eye the past couple years. You know, Russ came out, or there was that slogan that came out the past 2.5 years of let Russ cook, meaning let Russ run the offense and Pete Carroll maybe should take a step back. Pete Carroll wants a more ball control, run-oriented offense. Russell Wilson wants to throw it, obviously, as a quarterback. In particular, he wants to chuck it deep down the field to guys like Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. And I guess the two, you know, the ideologies of Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll just didn't mesh with each other. It collided with each other in a negative way, and it didn't see eye to eye anymore. And for the Seahawks, as far as they're concerned, it's the end of an era. You lost Russell Wilson, and on the same day, they cut Bobby Wagner, their star middle linebacker, a.k.a. Jimmy Garoppolo's favorite wide receiver. They cut Bobby Wagner, traded Russell Wilson. Those were the last two guys, the last two remnants of that Seahawks championship from 2013. The Legion of Boom, all gone. Marshawn Lynch, all gone. KJ Wright, gone. Michael Bennett, Cliff Avril, gone. Doug Baldwin, gone. And now Russell Wilson, Malcolm Smith, the MVP of that Super Bowl, versus Denver. It all kind of, the NFL is weird. Life is weird. It all kind of comes full circle for Russ. Seattle beat Denver, beat the shit out of Denver in that Super Bowl, beat the dog shit out the Broncos in that game, 43-8. And now Russ, about 9-10 years later, is going to be playing quarterback for the same team that he helped humiliate in Super Bowl 48, 43-8. And now Russ is going to be the quarterback for the Denver Broncos. If you had told someone that 5-6 years ago, they would have looked at you like you had a turd in your mouth. They would not have believed you. But now, you know, anything can happen, especially in today's NFL. Russell Wilson is now playing for the Denver Broncos, gone from Seattle. All those guys who were part of the championship years for the Seahawks, consecutive Super Bowl appearances, all those guys are gone. 2013, 2014, they're all gone. And now if you're Seattle, are you stuck in a rebuild mode? In the back of my mind, as a 49er fan, I'm worried, I'm concerned that maybe they might take all those picks they got from Denver and flip that to the Houston Texans and try to acquire Deshaun Watson. That was one of the first things that popped in my mind when I first heard about this deal. Are they going to take all this draft capital they just got from Denver and try to send that to Houston in order to get Deshaun Watson? Because Houston's made it clear, if they're going to trade Deshaun Watson, who has all these legal issues off the field that have nothing to do with football going on, but you still have to clear that hurdle. 22 different women accusing him of sexual assault. To me, it's all bullshit, but it's not up to me to decide. But you got to figure out what's going on with that off the field before you move forward to do anything else with Deshaun Watson, especially if you're another team trying to make a trade for Deshaun Watson. But the fact remains, he still, when he's playing, is a top five quarterback talent. And a lot of teams who are quarterback deficient would love to bring in a guy like Deshaun Watson to help their team out. Seattle is in a position where you just traded the best quarterback in franchise history. Are you going to go through a true rebuild? Are you going to draft a quarterback or bring in a lower tier free agent? Or are you going to take those draft picks and send them to Houston to bring in Deshaun Watson? Maybe Philadelphia could try to bring in Deshaun Watson. They have three first-round draft picks, the Philadelphia Eagles. Three first-round draft picks for the Eagles. Someone's going to make a deal to bring in Deshaun Watson. And I hope, I sincerely hope, it's not the Seattle Seahawks. As a Niner fan, I want to see them suffer. If the Seattle Seahawks were a person, I would love to see them in an alley behind a 7-Eleven sucking dick for crack with a heroin needle hanging out of their arm. That's how much I hate the Seattle Seahawks. I loathe, detest, and revile the Seattle Seahawks. Fuck them as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. I say that in a pure football sense because they have tormented my favorite team for over a decade. And when I heard that Russell Wilson got traded, I could have ran cross country. I was so ecstatic. I was about to throw a party. I wanted to celebrate. I hate that team. No other way to say it. I cannot stand the Seattle Seahawks. It's good to see them lose, and it's good to see that dynasty that never became a dynasty get broken up. That's one reason I will always love Tom Brady, because Tom Brady helped end that Seahawks dynasty before it became a dynasty. Super Bowl 49, the Seahawks had a 24-14 lead going into the fourth quarter of that game. And then the GOAT, the greatest quarterback who ever played football, threw two touchdown passes in the fourth quarter of that game to give the Patriots a 28-24 lead. And then Pete Carroll, in his infinite wisdom, decided to call a pass play at the 3-yard line instead of giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch, and it was picked off by Malcolm Butler in one of the greatest moments in sports history. And then the camera panned to Richard Sherman's face, and I had tears in my eyes, tears of joy from watching these low-life cocksuckers finally get what they deserved. They lost in spectacular and agonizing fashion. I loved it. I loved that game, and I will forever be indebted to Thomas Edward Patrick Brady for delivering one of the greatest moments in sports history, beating the Seattle Seahawks in Super Bowl 49, and it gives me so much pleasure and so much joy the fact that they never recovered. They never got back to another Super Bowl. And finally, Russell Wilson is off that team, and so is Bobby Wagner, another great football player, a guy who is undoubtedly a first ballot Pro Football Hall of Famer in his own right. It gives me great joy to know that the Seahawks dynasty is finally over with. Hopefully, there is no deal imminent to bring in Deshaun Watson. Hopefully, they go through a complete rebuild. Why stop there? Trade DK Metcalf. Trade Tyler Lockett. Just blow the whole thing up. Seattle's not good. That roster is deficient. They are not good on either side of the ball. They can't run the ball. The offensive line is in complete disarray. They can't stop the run. The secondary is not what it used to be, nowhere close. Special teams, yeah, pretty good. That's probably their best feature, honestly. They're probably better at special teams than they are at offense or defense. That's about it. They suck, and it brings me a lot of joy to say that and to know that the Seattle Seahawks suck. Moving on, Carson Wentz, my guy, Carson Wentz. I'm president, chairman, and CEO of the Carson Wentz fan club, but he continues to let me down. But I'll never waver. I'll never give up. I'm a Carson Wentz fan, just like I'm a Kirk Cousins fan. But apparently, Colts head coach Frank Reich and Colts general manager Chris Ballard are no longer fans of Carson Wentz because they have agreed to trade the former number two pick overall in the 2016 NFL draft, Carson Wentz, to the Washington Commanders. The Washington Potomacs, the Washington Real Housewives of Potomac, the Washington Dandelions, the Washington Chupacabra, the Washington Nation of Domination, the Washington Degeneration X, the Washington Four Horsemen, the Washington Hogs, Red Tails, Sentinels, Federals, Generals, Washington Redskins, Deadskins, whatever the fuck they're called this week. They have acquired a new quarterback. It seems like both of these teams have a different quarterback every year. As a matter of fact, the Colts, when they start the 2022 season, will have their fifth different quarterback in 5 years, from Andrew Luck to Jacoby Brissett to Phillip Rivers to Carson Wentz and to whoever the fuck will be playing quarterback for the Colts this upcoming season. Five different quarterbacks for the Indianapolis Colts and the Washington Pro Football Team. The players in Landover have an abysmal history of trying to fill that position for the past, 30 years. I don't have enough time to break down all the guys who played quarterback for the Washington, whatever the fuck they're called, for the past 30 years. Mark Brunell, Jason Campbell, Rex Grossman, an old, fat, washed-up Donovan McNabb, Robert Griffin III, Tim Hasselbeck, Kirk Cousins, Alex Smith, Mark Sanchez, Josh Johnson, Jesus Christ, Dwayne Haskins. Who else? Todd Collins, the dude from Michigan. It was like 75 years old playing for them. Danny Warfel, Shane Matthews, all the Florida guys that Steve Spurrier brought in. It's an awful litany, a plethora of shitty quarterbacks playing for Washington for the past 30 years. They've been a complete joke. And now they have Carson Wentz to come in and play quarterback for their team. And, you know, people are going to shit on Carson Wentz. People usually do. And, yes, he does make some boneheaded decisions. Carson Wentz last season went for 27-7 touchdown to interception ratio. Anyone who knows me, anyone who talks football with me, anyone who listens to the Deion Gordon podcast knows that is my favorite statistic to measure a pro football quarterback: touchdown to interception ratio. Carson Wentz threw 27 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions last season. Now, he will give you the occasional left-handed, no-look behind the back, between the legs, stupid-ass interception at the beginning of the second quarter with the score tied at 3 at his own 12-yard line. He will give you those from time to time. But he is capable of making big plays. He can make every throw. With Carson, I think it's an issue of confidence and overall mechanics and fundamentals. A lot of times he has fundamental breakdowns in what he's trying to do from a mechanical standpoint. But the tool set is there. The skill set is there. He has everything you need to play quarterback physically. Between the ears may be a different story. As far as Carson Wentz is concerned with Indianapolis, you're talking about a quarterback who was in charge of a football team that had 7 Pro Bowlers last season and was in the driver's seat to make the AFC playoffs last year until they got to Week 18 and lost on the road in a basically win-and-you're-in situation against the cancer-stricken Jacksonville Jaguars, the worst team in pro football, but a poor matchup for the Indianapolis Colts. The Jaguars on that day beat the Colts and eliminated them from playoff contention. And Carson Wentz was not good in that game. Threw a couple of picks, had some turnovers, couldn't get the offense going, couldn't gain traction. There was a game 2 weeks prior to that at home versus the Raiders that the Colts lost, and the Raiders made the playoffs over the Colts. I mean, there was a couple of games here and there where Carson Wentz just didn't show up. And I guess from the Colts' perspective, they're looking at their roster and saying, well, we got Jonathan Taylor, the best running back in pro football, the guy who's on track, who at least was in MVP consideration as a running back, which is very impressive. We got him. We got Quentin Nelson. We got Michael Pittman. We got Darius Leonard. We got DeForest Buckner. We got a pretty good football team as it is. We were ready. The Colts went to Buffalo last season and annihilated, massacred, eviscerated the Buffalo Bills last season. 41-15, treated them like a prostitute. They totally embarrassed them. 41-15, that was in Buffalo. The Colts are a good football team, but they missed the playoffs, losing in Week 18 to the Jacksonville Jaguars, of all people. But like I said, it's a poor matchup. That's a division rival. Every team has that. Every team has that one team they just don't match up well with. And for whatever reason, Indianapolis does not match up well with Jacksonville. Go back to last season. Jacksonville, being led by Gardner Minshew, defeated Indianapolis in Week 1 with Phillip Rivers playing quarterback for them, and then went on a 15-game losing streak. The one team the Jaguars beat in 2020 were the Indianapolis Colts. I don't know how. I don't know why. I can't even explain it. But for some reason, the Jaguars match up well with the Colts. And Carson Wentz in that game gave the Jaguars every single opportunity they needed to win that football game. And I guess that was the last straw. Whenever Ballard and Reich were asked about Carson Wentz in the postseason and during the NFL Combine, any press conference or interview they did where they had to talk about Carson Wentz, it was always in a negative tone, I should say. It was never a ringing endorsement. It was never positive words to say about Carson Wentz. Frank Reich said, "I stuck my neck out for him." Frank Reich, former offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, where Wentz began his career and played his best football at in 2017, when Reich was the offensive coordinator for the Eagles that year, the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl. He advocated very much so for Carson Wentz to be brought in and play quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. And I thought that was a very poignant comment from Reich to say, "I stuck my neck out for this guy," as if, you know, that's like saying, "I hooked you up, I gave you a job, and this is how you repay me." I've been in that situation before. I've hooked people up. I've helped people get jobs, and they show up to work, and they fuck me over, and they make me look bad. They calling out of work on their second day of the job. They on their phone when they at work. They're taking all kinds of breaks. They're taking long-ass breaks. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not where they're supposed to be. They being a lazy N-word about the situation, and in turn, it makes you look bad because you stuck your neck out to help them get a job. So for Frank Reich, he's looking at Carson Wentz as a lazy N-word, even though he's a white dude from North Dakota, but he's looking at Carson Wentz as if to say, dude, I got you this job, and this is how you repay me. You go out there and shit the bed versus the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you cost this team a playoff berth. Whether right or wrong, fair or unfair, that's how it breaks down, and I feel like I'm pretty much sure that Week 18 loss combined with missing the playoffs, combined with some of the questionable throws that Carson Wentz had, reports have come out about Wentz being difficult to work with behind the scenes, not being the most coachable guy. His career is at a fork in the road right now. It's at the crossroads. Carson Wentz's career is at the crossroads. He has to perform for the Washington Jack in the Boxes. He has to do something for that football team. He's got to resurrect his career. This is a guy who, as I said earlier, was the second overall pick in the 2016 NFL draft. Think about that for 1 second. The 1 and 2 picks in that draft in 2016, both are at a career crossroads. Jared Goff in Detroit and Carson Wentz now with the Washington Johnny Rocketburgers. He's at a standstill. He has to show and improve this season. I think Wentz is still a good quarterback. 27-7 is very nice. I'll take that. For the Indianapolis Colts, the question now becomes, well, who do you get to replace Carson Wentz? I mean, I would think if you're going to get rid of Carson Wentz, that means you know internally that you have someone else available, someone else out there that you can bring in to be an upgrade over Carson Wentz. Or else, why would you get rid of Carson Wentz? Who are you going to roll with? Sam Ehlinger from Texas? A second-year quarterback, a rookie last season? You're going to make a trade? I mean, I've heard all kinds of rumors. Kirk Cousins from Minnesota. Potentially Jordan Love from Green Bay. As I said earlier, he's now become expendable. Or the trade that piques my interest the most, the trade that has my antenna raised, Jimmy Garoppolo of my beloved San Francisco 49ers. Overpaid Trevor Siemian, Jacoby Brissett with privilege, the less than shittier version of Matt Castle, Jimmy Wilkes Booth, Lee Harvey Garoppolo, the man who assassinated the 49ers season and tried to assassinate Deebo Samuel. Do the Indianapolis Colts look at him and say, we think you're better than Carson Wentz? Because we know you can't make the big play. We know you're not going to push it down the field vertically. We know you're only going to make certain passes to certain areas of the field, predominantly the middle part of the field. Short intermediate passes across the middle is all you can give us, but that's enough because we got a great running back in Jonathan Taylor. We can control the clock, control the football. We got Michael Pittman, a 6'4 receiver coming into his own. We got a pretty decent core around him. Now, I would say another way I would advocate for Carson Wentz and say that all of what happened last year in Indianapolis was not entirely his fault. I don't think he had a whole lot of weapons around him in Indianapolis, but that's neither here nor there. But the Colts might be looking at Jimmy Garoppolo and saying, you know, you've played in 2 conference championship games. You played in a Super Bowl. Your win-loss record is what it is whenever you start a football game for your team. The Niners, by the numbers, don't win football games when Jimmy Garoppolo plays. Now, that's not telling the full story. That's leaving out the parts about Nick Bosa not playing and Deebo Samuel not playing and George Kittle not playing and a host of other players who are better at their job than Jimmy Garoppolo is at his. But the media narrative, the public popular narrative is whenever Jimmy Garoppolo plays, the 49ers win. So if you're the Indianapolis Colts, you're looking at your roster and saying, we have 7 Pro Bowl players. We feel like we're a ready-made football team. Our division isn't even that good. We feel like it's right there for the taking. All we need is a quarterback that can control the clock, manage the game, and not fuck it up. Apparently, the Colts did not watch the NFL playoffs where Jimmy Garoppolo tried to fuck it up in three straight games. But that's neither here nor there. Because if you're the Colts, you just got rid of Carson Wentz, you got to bring in someone either comparable or you feel like is better than Carson Wentz. It's not about me. It's not about my opinion. Because in my opinion, Carson Wentz is better than Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what Deion Gordon believes. What does Frank Reich believe? What does Chris Ballard believe? To me, the Colts are quarterback desperate now. Now that you've gotten rid of Carson Wentz, they need someone to play. The rookie draft class is unappealing for the most part. The Colts don't even have a first-round draft pick. They're going to need someone to step in and play that position. And Jimmy Garoppolo is available. Now, you got to pay him $25 million. You got to eat that contract. You got to pay that salary. But in the short term, in interim, for about 1 year, probably, you're getting a guy, if you're trying to sell him and sell the bright spots and the positive aspects of Garoppolo, he's a winner. The win-loss record shows that. Whether he has a lot to do with those wins and losses is neither here nor there. The record shows, the number shows, when he plays, somehow his team wins. Usually because other guys who are better at their job than he is show up and are also available to play and play at a higher level than he plays. Jimmy Garoppolo is not even a top 10 player on the 49ers. Deebo Samuel, Nick Bosa, George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk, Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk, Fred Warner, Alex Mack, Laken Tomlinson, Emmanuel Mosley, Jimmy Ward, Jaquiski Tartt, Jason Verrett when healthy, Raheem Mostert when healthy, Dre Greenlaw. All those guys are better than Jimmy Garoppolo. But like I said, it's not about what I think. It's about what other teams think. And let's bring it back. Let's close this out by talking about my favorite team, the San Francisco 49ers. They've got to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. It's a gust-to-go situation. As the great Mike Wilbon would say, he cannot play for this team next season. It's a gots-to-go situation. $25 million cap hit. He's worn out his welcome as far as I'm concerned. You know what you're getting with Jimmy Garoppolo, especially when it matters most in crunch time in big playoff games, conference championships, Super Bowls. Underwhelming, mediocre, disappointing play from Jimmy Garoppolo. The Niners can't bring him back. It would be a completely untenable situation to bring him back. The future is now. You either go with Trey Lance or figure out a way to manipulate a deal with Tampa to bring in Tom fucking Brady. Those are your options. Either Tom Brady, which ain't going to happen, because why would the Buccaneers trade Brady to a team in the same conference? Bruce Arians has flat out said this publicly, that in order for a team to make a deal for Tom Brady, they got to give up 5 first-round draft picks. The Niners don't have that kind of capital. They already traded 3 first-round draft picks to get Trey Lance. Trey Lance is the future of the 49ers, whether some of y'all like it or not. Whether some 49er fans of certain demographics like it or not, Trey Lance is the future of the football team at the most important position in professional sports. You cannot, and you should not, bring back Jimmy Garoppolo. So you can, why? What's the point of that? So you can once again have a quarterback controversy? So you can once again split the locker room down the middle? Some guys, Brandon Ayuk and guys like that, or Trey Lance people, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, or Jimmy Garoppolo people, because they get the ball from Jimmy Garoppolo in short intermediate passes because that's all he can throw. Brandon Ayuk running that corner, that post route down the field, ain't seeing the ball from Jimmy Garoppolo. So he wants to see Trey Lance play. You can't have both these guys on the roster. John Lynch and the 49er brass have to find a willing trade partner. And from the reports, there are multiple. The Colts are in the mix, as reported by Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network and Peter Schrager of the NFL Network. So are the New Orleans Saints, who are also devoid of a quarterback. The Carolina Panthers, potentially the Miami Dolphins. Some would say the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't think Pittsburgh would be interested in Garoppolo. if you play quarterback for Pittsburgh, obviously that means you play in the AFC North. Now, what does that mean? That means road games against Baltimore, Cleveland, and Cincinnati, and home games in Pittsburgh, four cold weather climate cities. Outdoors on natural grass, inclement weather once the calendar turns to November and December and January. Poor weather conditions. Jimmy Garoppolo struggles to throw a football in Santa Clara, California, where it's typically ideal conditions to throw a football, where it's usually between 55 and 85 degrees on a yearly basis for the 49ers to play football games in. Perfect weather conditions. It don't rain out here hardly ever, and when it did versus Indianapolis, you saw how horrible Garoppolo was in that game. It damn sure doesn't snow. There ain't no sleet. There ain't no freezing rain out here. But there is in Cleveland, and they have that in Baltimore too. I can attest to that growing up close to Baltimore. Cincinnati, same thing. Pittsburgh, same thing. Cold, fucked up weather conditions is not ideal for a quarterback with a noodle arm like Jimmy Garoppolo. Typically, Pittsburgh wants a quarterback with a big, dynamic arm like Roethlisberger had to throw in those adverse weather conditions. So I don't think Pittsburgh would be or even should be interested in bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo. So to me, what makes the most sense is either Indianapolis, Carolina, New Orleans, and maybe, just maybe, Miami. Mike McDaniel, former offensive coordinator this past season of the 49ers, is now the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Although I would argue there ain't much of a difference between Tua Tagovailoa and Jimmy Garoppolo. The main difference is Tua Tagovailoa is cheaper. So if I'm McDaniel, I'd rather roll with Tua as opposed to Jimmy, because I ain't got to pay Tua $25 million this season. Jimmy Garoppolo, I got to pay him $25 million to do what? I don't know. To be basic as fuck, I got to pay this guy $25 million. So if I'm Miami, I'll stick with the Polynesian version of Jimmy Garoppolo, who costs a lot less. But either way, somebody is going to be desperate. And someone, there's a lot of teams that need a quarterback. And the 49ers have a quarterback that's ready to be dealt. And you can sell him on the fact that he is, by the numbers, a winner. And he can help your team out as long as you have pieces around him to prop him up and make him look better. And Indianapolis has those pieces. I would not be surprised if you see a breaking news notification on your phone or ESPN or NFL Network. This just in, the Indianapolis Colts just traded such and such draft picks to the 49ers to bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. Wouldn't be surprised at all. Carson Wentz, they traded a first-round pick last year for Carson Wentz. And look how quickly they got rid of him. But still, they traded a first-round pick to the Eagles last season to bring in Carson Wentz. Carolina gave up a first to bring in Sam Darnold. Quarterbacks of Jimmy Garoppolo's ilk can warrant a first or a second-round draft pick. What complicates matters is that Garoppolo recently had shoulder surgery and can't throw for another 16 weeks. The reports I keep hearing now is that when a trade does happen, it will more than likely be made in about a month, right before, or maybe during the NFL draft. Teams want to evaluate him coming off shoulder surgery, see how well he can throw, or see if he's back to his old form. It's not like he had a laser arm to begin with, but they want to see if he's still competent enough to throw a football and pain-free, as relatively pain-free as you can be a month out of shoulder surgery. So I wouldn't look for a trade to happen anytime soon, although, you know, for me, the sooner the better. I can't wait. I got a bottle of Don Julio 1942 on deck. The day that Jimmy Garoppolo gets traded, I'm throwing a party. I will come on this podcast and sing Negro spirituals while drinking Mexican tequila. I'm all confused and fucked up. I don't care. I will celebrate. I will pop bottles. 1942 and Don Julio tequila. The day that Jimmy Garoppolo gets traded will be a celebration. If the Niners can't win the Super Bowl, at the very least, We can trade Jimmy Garoppolo and get a second round pick back for him or something comparable to that. At least trade him at the very least and get him off of my favorite football team. I'm tired of the dude. As a football fan, I want him to go away. As a podcaster, I'm conflicted because he does give me a lot of good content. And people do enjoy hearing me rant and rave and complain about Garoppolo. But like I said, it's a conundrum. It's a dilemma for me. But I would love to see him go because I want more than anything else to see my favorite football team, the San Francisco 49ers, win a fucking Super Bowl. And that's never going to happen as long as Jimmy Garoppolo is here. So when that trade does go down, Don Julio, 1942, popping bottles, getting fucked up on that day. One last thing, Khalil Mack dealt from Chicago to the Chargers today for a second round pick in 2022 and a third round pick in 2023. It looks to me like the Bears are going through with a full-blown rebuild. If you're getting rid of Khalil Mack, I would guess, yeah, you're going through a rebuild. You're going to blow this whole thing up. That's your best player defensively between either him or Roquan Smith. But Khalil Mack's older, and you can get more in return for him. I would think you should have got more in return for him than a second round this year and a third round next year. They made a deal between the Bears and the Raiders to bring in Khalil Mack a few years ago. John Gruden foolishly traded Khalil Mack and then had the audacity to go to the podium at the postgame news conference and say, "We're missing a pass rush." You're not missing a pass rush, Gruden. You traded your pass rush to Chicago, you fucking Nimrod. But, yeah, it's a big deal. Khalil Mack going to the Chargers. Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa together, that's scary. That's frightening. That's very scary. You got to do something to keep pace with the arms race going down in the AFC West. All four teams in that division have good quarterbacks. That is the best and most quarterback-loaded division in pro football. It's not even close. Mahomes, Herbert, Derek Carr, and now Russell Wilson with Denver. So if you're the Chargers, it makes all the sense in the world to go out and pull the trigger and make this deal to bring in Khalil Mack because you're going to need pass rushers. You're going to need guys to go after Patrick Mahomes, to go after Derek Carr, to go after Russell Wilson and make life difficult for them. So kudos to the Chargers for pulling the trigger and making a good deal for them. Mack and Bosa are both top 10 in the league in sacks, pressure rate, all the pass rushing analytics and metrics that you could possibly think of. Those two guys are top 10. And now you have both guys on your team going forward. That's a win for the Chargers. Although I'm pretty sure Brandon Staley, the head coach of the Chargers, will more than likely figure out a way to fuck it all up anyway. But still, as it stands right now on paper, on March 11th, 2022, for the artist formerly known as the San Diego Chargers. I love football. That should be obvious by now. I love talking about football. I'm going to make a t-shirt that simply says, "Ask me about football." Because 9.5 times out of 10, that's what I'd rather and prefer to be talking about. Don't bog me down or bother me with inane chatter. If you see me out and about, or if you want to reach out to me, ask me something football related, and I'll be more than happy to engage in conversation with you for hours if need be. I don't care. I'll talk about football all fucking day. I love football. It reigns supreme. It's the most fascinating sport on the planet, in my opinion. And clearly in North America, without question, it is the number one obsession among sports fans in this country. Football kills every other sport and is the number one topic of conversation all year long. Basketball, baseball, hockey, MMA, boxing, all pale in comparison to the juggernaut that is football, both college and especially pro on the NFL level. I could talk about football all fucking day. I've talked about football now for an hour and 7 minutes. If you're listening, if you've listened, if you made it this far, salute. I appreciate you. Thank you very much. That concludes this episode of the Dion Gordon Podcast. Eternally grateful, always humble, very much appreciative. Thank you so much for listening. I truly do appreciate it. Until next time, picture me rolling. I'm out.